Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go,
taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Hopefully you guys had a fantastic weekend. Certainly a lot of things to get into. Before we do that, Rob, how you doing today, my man?
I mean, I got no complaints, nothing to say. I had a nice, fun, long weekend, went downtown, saw a show. I lived it up on my long weekend, so I'm happy to be back, though.
Absolutely. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we are going to head to Omaha to get an update on the AAA Royals. That is where Jack Caglione is. We're going to talk about him coming up in a bit. He is off to an incredible start right now in AAA. He is hitting .346 with a .357 on base percentage. He has 5 home runs and 10 RBIs in 26 at-bats right now in AAA Omaha. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. We are going to head to Omaha coming up in about 30 minutes. We're also going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, to talk about Jack Caglione and also talk about the Royals as they lost this weekend series to the Minnesota Twins. Before we do any of that, we need you guys to do us a couple of favors. Number one, we need you guys listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. We also need you guys to tell one friend about the show. You know what? I would greatly appreciate it if you did. Here is J.J. Piccolo on when is the best time to bring up Jack Caglione.
The hardest part about this for us is we're trying to do what's best for the player. I mean, that's ultimately what this is. You want the player to be as prepared as he can when he comes to the major leagues. It's not fair to any player, whether it's Jack Caglione or whoever, when a team may be scuffling offensively, to try to put it on him and hope he's going to come save the day. The best way to break any player into the major leagues is to try to bring him up when the team's hot, you know, offensively scoring some runs. That's not why he's not coming up right now. We just want him to face more advanced pitching in AAA, see how they game plan for him, how he adapts and makes adjustments, you know, not just game to game, but at bat to at bat. It'll take, you know, I don't want to put a timetable on it, but we want to see it for a little bit. I mean, this first week was great, but we certainly weren't saying when he went to AAA, have a good first week and bring him to Kansas City.
That is J.J. Piccolo, the general manager for the Kansas City Royals, talking about the week that was for Jack Caglione. We just gave you the numbers. He had a fantastic week down in AAA. One thing is starting to become very clear to me. At some point, I think there is a player that can make the decision for you. I've always heard organizations don't call players up. Players call themselves up based on how they're playing and how they are performing. There was an outfielder for the Texas Rangers, Alejandro Azuna. He is a 22-year-old outfielder who started the year at AA. He then moved up to AAA. He played just 8 games in AAA to get the call up to the big league club to try to help a team that is 27th in runs scored. I mean, doesn't that sound like the Kansas City Royals? Now, that is obviously not the Kansas City Royals. That's the Texas Rangers. But I think you guys can see the parallel in those two. We're talking about two players that are around the same age, that started the year in AA, got the call up to AAA, played well in a very small amount of games, and then got to the big leagues to help an offense that was scuffling. The parallels are eerie between Ozuna and what is happening right now with Jack Caglione. I think the noise is just starting to get louder and louder and louder. And for an offense that continues to scuffle, for a team that is clearly trying a bunch of different things, let's try to bring up Lofton. Let's try to bring up Rave. We're going to get rid of Biggio. We're going to get rid of Hunter Renfroe. For an organization that is certainly trying different combinations and seeing what you can have shake offensively, there is really one move left to make that really shakes things up, and I think we all know what that move is. Sometimes I think a player plays in such a way and moves that it's unavoidable. It is inevitable. Now, there are some behind the scenes. There are some Super 2 rules. I was talking to Cody about this earlier. June 12th seems to be the date that it seems unlikely that he would be here before June 12th. But we have gone from maybe he spends his entire first year down in the minors to, well, maybe he can be a September call-up. Rob, you and I were having this conversation, it feels like 10 days ago, that maybe August 1st would be a realistic target date. I'm starting to think that after every week, you have to continue to push that date forward and forward and forward. I don't know if you can afford to keep Jack Caglione down in the minor leagues for another 60 days, not at the way that he is performing. Sometimes you just know, and yes, there is going to be a learning curve regardless of where you are, and maybe that's in the field, maybe that's in the plate, maybe it is both, but I do think we are starting to get really close to the conversation with their top prospect and one of the top prospects in all of baseball. It's going to continue to be harder and harder to justify why he is not here on the big league club, because if we are trying to find the best 25 men in the Royals organization, it is getting harder and harder to explain why Jack Caglione is not one of those people.
Maybe this is me hating a little bit and maybe raining on the parade just a hair. But how much of the Jack excitement is because of what he's doing? How much is it because the offense up here stinks? Like you mentioned, Renfro's already gone. Kevin Biggio's already gone. MJ Melendez went down. I think it's more likely than not that at some point this summer, Michael Massey is headed back to Omaha the way he is hitting. Like, some of the excitement seems to be based on the idea the Royals on the Royals can't hit. They don't have a corner outfielder. They don't have a power bat. Even Salvi, who we all love, is not hitting at a regular Salvi level. It's just Michael Garcia, Vinny some days, and Bobby Witt. What Jack Caglione is doing in AAA is incredible. We have a whiteboard that has his updated stats. But I wonder how much of the excitement and fan, you know, itching to get him up here is because the team up here isn't hitting. If this was last year's offense, which last year's offense at this point in time was fine, it was like top 12 in baseball, would fans be clamoring for Jack the way they are now? I'm curious, and I wonder that a lot of the Jack hype or Cags watch or whatever is based on the fact the team up here is no good and has more to do with that than it does the team at the Cags himself. Excuse me.
I don't know if it's an either or situation. I think the answer to your question is simply yes. I think it's both of those things. I think it is pretty obvious that the Royals offense in some ways needs a boost. And maybe you think that John Rave is that boost. Maybe you think that Nick Lofton is that boost. But it is clear that the Royals need to do some shakeup. I also don't find it that it is not a coincidence, maybe a better way of putting it. It is not a coincidence to me that a lot of these changes started to happen around Memorial Day. That is usually a place in baseball where you start to do some self-reflecting, where you're trying to figure out what kind of offense you want to be. We've got a good enough sample size now. We've given guys 100 ABs. We've given guys 150 ABs. We are now heading into the dog days of summer. Summer is here in a lot of ways. So what kind of offense do we need to be? How do we need to shake things up? And I think it is pretty logical that you can look right now of where is the enforcements going to come from. And it's pretty clear. Jack Caglione is the best reinforcement that they can possibly call up. I think on the other side of this is he is a Christmas gift that we all know at some point you were going to have. They didn't even wrap this underneath the tree. I see the PlayStation right there. You're telling me at some point I'm going to be able to play it. And we keep moving up the date of when we think we're going to be able to sit down with it. Again, at one point, we thought it was going to be 2026. If I had asked you at the very beginning of the year, we had this conversation, I would have told you that I don't think we see Jack Caglione in 2025. We now saw him at AA. We both have moved up our timetable of when that potentially is going to be. Fast forward to now, after him going to AAA and not really missing a beat, this is the same player that was dominating pitching down in AA Arkansas. He's doing it, you could even argue, at a better clip right now at AAA. He looks and appears to be a prospect that is ready and can certainly handle coming up to the big leagues. So I think a lot of that is just to build up the hype and the anticipation of seeing him as a prospect. We're going to head to Omaha coming up in just a bit. I do want to talk a little bit of Chiefs in the open today. We have officially reached the summer portion of the NFL season. There are still two, I would say, pretty major questions to answer with the Kansas City Chiefs. At this point, there should not be a lot of NFL news around. If your team is in the news in the NFL, it is usually about one of two topics. It's either about the money or somebody got in trouble. Now, for the Chiefs, they have two of those stories this offseason. Let's start with the trouble part of it. Now, nobody new has gotten in trouble. I don't want you guys to feel alarmed to think that you missed anything. But I think we all are waiting and anticipating to see what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. We are talking about someone who was in the middle of something very, very serious and had a very noisy summer last year. Now, we don't have any developments. We haven't heard anything. We haven't seen anything. But I think we all know how this works in the NFL. At some point this summer, I think we all are anticipating some concrete update with what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. I still find it hard to believe that he is going to be able to get out of this with no suspension. But the NFL is a very funny game sometimes when it comes to this. Is it going to be a 2-game suspension? Is it going to be a 4-game suspension? Are they going to be very severe and hit them with a 6-game? I don't think it's going to be that much, but that is a question that the Chiefs have heading into this summer. I don't think anything is going to happen with Xavier Worthy. I don't think anything's going to happen with Xavier Worthy other than an uncomfortable press conference in St. Joe. I don't think he's going to get suspended. Maybe he's already met with the commissioner. Maybe they've done that in person. Maybe they did that via Zoom. There's plenty of ways to meet in 2025, and not all of them have to be in person. But I don't think that we are going to get some tweet in July that Xavier Worthy is going to miss time from anything that happened this offseason regarding him and his former fiance. Now, the other part of it, there are usually two kinds of contract news. There's the good one. You've reached an extension with George Karlaftis. You've reached an extension with Trent McDuffie, or a player is holding out. We saw that a couple of off seasons ago with Chris Jones, who was looking to get paid and was looking to get taken care of. Trust me, we are going to see those stories pop up around the National Football League. In fact, one is currently happening right now in Buffalo with James Cook, who is looking for a new contract extension. But the Chiefs have an all-pro corner who is eligible for a new deal, and we all know how this goes. It's cheaper to do this now than to wait. You really like this player. You want to keep him long term. You know what the market says that he's worth. Just pay it. And we haven't even got to their all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber right guard in Trey Smith that is the only player right now in the National Football League on the franchise tag. It is not in the Chiefs' best interest to let this deadline expire and Trey Smith not be locked up on a long-term deal if he is a player that you want to keep. We're talking about a $23.4 million contract that you cannot manipulate. You cannot move around. You cannot build around it. It is an anchor in the middle of all your financial plans. So if this is the player that you like and a player that you want to keep, and you certainly feel some way about him to have him on the franchise tag and not trade him, you had Snead on the tag. You traded him before the draft. You are anticipating having Trey Smith on the team this year. You are anticipating him being on the team for years to come as an investment in your offensive line to surround your quarterback with it. So the Chiefs have two major storylines this offseason. One is the money. What's going to happen with Karlaftis? What's going to happen with Trent McDuffie? What's going to happen with Trey Smith? And the trouble. Last offseason, with how noisy and how tumultuous it was at times, we all think that that bill is going to come due at some point this offseason. So as we head into the summer for the Kansas City Chiefs, hopefully there is no new subjects for us to be talking about. I want it to be a boring, quiet summer for the Kansas City Chiefs. Lord knows they could use one. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to head to Omaha to catch up and learn more about Jack Caglione. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
Quick trip taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
this deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Rob, you mentioned something just a bit ago about Jack Caglione, and I want to talk about it a little bit more. I think the answer to your question is both. If you are asking, is the excitement around Jack Caglione about the prospect that he is or about the Royals offense, I think the answer is yes. I think most fans know that realistically, you are not making a trade at this point in the season. Now, at some point, the trade doors are going to open up and people are going to expect the Royals to walk through those. You look at the American League right now, it's completely jumbled up. There's no separation. The Royals are going to be in a very tight wild card fight for the rest of the season. If the Royals don't make steps to improve their offense, then they're not making the playoffs this year. I would say that this is a much more competitive American League than it was a year ago, especially in the market that the Royals are going to be in. Maybe this is me being pessimistic, and I certainly don't mean to be. I don't think the Royals are winning the American League Central. I look at what the Tigers are in their first 50 games, and I look at what the Royals are. I also look at the teams that you're going to have to battle with, whether it's the Guardians, whether it's the Minnesota Twins, and the Royals have just shown to me a struggle in competing with those caliber of opponents. So I just don't think the Royals are winning their division. Now, you don't have to win your division. You don't have to win your division to make the postseason. The Royals proved that last year. But we all know the competition that is going to exist to try to grab those few wild card spots. So yes, some of this is related to their offense and the understanding that you're going to need to do something to it in order to get to your end destination. And right now, he is the best possible option for them. There are no trades to be made on May 27th. Teams aren't selling now. Now, on July 27th, we'll revisit this conversation. If the Royals haven't made a move or don't appear to be on the verge of making a move, I think you can be real critical of J.J. Piccolo and of Sherman for not putting their money where their mouth is. But on the flip side, I also think that we and the media have done this. I also think that the team has done this. And I also think that fans aren't stupid. That you can just see the highlights and you can see there's something different about this prospect. And then when you get people like J.J. Piccolo that say these kind of things about Jack Caglione, the hype, the anticipation, it only builds for your player.
Yeah, well, be honest, like, nothing changed. He just continued to dominate Double-A baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, with AAA, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than AA pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experienced, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal – quote unquote timeline, even just to get to AAA. Like, is this kind of best case scenario for him to get up to AAA this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had in their first full season that go to AA and just really dominate the league and now are in AAA. Obviously, Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in AA. But you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the sixth pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he was good, but until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league levels? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think he's going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is. This is what we would like to see is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's, you know, a left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself, you know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be. That's what we'd be happy with. That
was JJ Piccolo last week about Jack Caglione. Since then, all he has done is dominate AAA pitching. He's hitting .350 with 5 home runs and 10 RBIs and 26 at bats. He is certainly trending like a player that should be up here in Kansas City at some point in the next month. But Rob, to give you a chance to, I guess, expound on what we were talking about, and we got Connor Happer, who is in AAA Omaha. He's going to join us coming up in a bit to let us know how the first week went for Jack Caglione. I think it's a lot of things that are all coming together at one. I mentioned the point that fans are not stupid. The Royals are dead last in home runs. The Royals are 26th in runs scored. So you know that their offense has been struggling. And right now, your number one prospect looks like he can help you with that. Rob, you and I have been following this team and around this team for a long time. How many true power hitters have they had in their organization? Now, maybe the argument is you can't really be a power hitter at Kauffman Stadium. Well, you play half your games away from Kauffman Stadium. You can certainly have a power hitter on the Kansas City Royals. They just haven't had many of them in our lifetime. And if you were telling me that he's got a chance to be a left-handed Pete Alonso, that's not me saying that. That's not you saying that. That's not fan rhetoric. That is the general manager of a Major League Baseball team says they think that they have a left-handed Pete Alonso in their organization. And then you look at your offense night after night after night struggle to get to 3 and 4 runs on a nightly basis. That only builds the hype and anticipation of what looks like a possible can't-miss prospect that you have right now in your farm system.
I agree with everything you're saying. And listen, I know that all general managers are going to hype up their own prospects, and so there's a little bit of hyperbole probably with J.J. Piccolo talking about Jack Caglione, but I understand when you look at his stats, the excitement. I do. But I do, a little part of me wonders how much of the Cags excitement is based on the backup quarterback theory. Because Carrington, ask any fan of any team that has just an okay quarterback, they'll tell you the guy behind him is a star in waiting. You saw it at Missouri, as I've seen it at Kansas dozens of times. So Brady Cook isn't good. You got to play Sam Horn. Sam Horn is the answer. It's because he's sight unseen. He's never failed. He never has that, you know, that stink of messing up on him. We saw it with the Chiefs, not with the backup quarterback, but Carrington, how many people texting the text line that 1 year the Chiefs wide receivers were terrible and kept telling us Justin Ross was the answer? They had never seen Justin Ross fail. I've seen MVS fail. He stinks. The next guy has to be better. I do think Jack Caglione has a chance to be a really good pro. And I think he has a chance to be a really good major leaguer. His numbers at AA, now AAA, would indicate those things exist. But I think a part of the hype, a part of the pandemonium, a part of the fervor you're feeling in Kansas City is the backup quarterback theory. Hey, you have this guy who you have seen never, ever, ever struggle, fail, nothing at the major league level, and he's shredding in AAA. So you just have the automatic gut reaction, he must be better. I do think he's better than a lot of the options they have up, but I do think some of the, you know, fever pitch you're feeling in town is the backup quarterback theory.
But the feeling of he can't be worse than what we already have, I mean, I don't think that people have made that up out of nowhere. I think that's based on what we are watching. I mean, I saw Hunter Renfro get 100 ABs for the Kansas City Royals. I haven't seen Jack Caglione in the major leagues. I struggle to think that he could be worse than what they have. I saw Biggio on this team. It's hard for me to imagine that Jack Caglione could be a worse option offensively for you than what you have. I mean, we currently are watching Michael Massey with this team. I find it hard to believe that Jack Caglione can be a worse offensive player for you than Michael Massey is. He is going to be the next up in the fan crosshairs when it comes to underperforming veteran players on this team. We're talking about 50 games for Michael Massey, 108 ABs. We're talking about a guy right now that has 2 home runs, 14 RBIs, and is hitting 206 with 222. The Royals have just had so many holes in their lineup this season. Now, I give the Royals a lot of credit. I'm not here to cry over spilt milk. We were complaining about Hunter Renfro. They did something about Hunter Renfro. They had to take those ABs away from Biggio. They did that. They are going to eventually take those ABs away from Michael Massey. Who is somebody that you want to give them to? Jack Caglione seems like a really good answer to that question. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Connor Happer. He is with 1620 The Zone in Omaha. That is where Jack Caglione is, and he had an amazing first week for the Storm Chasers. Connor, man, happy to have you join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Carrington. What's going on?
Doing fantastic, man. What has the excitement been like to have the Royals' top prospect up in AAA?
Well, this is his home debut tonight. And, you know, it's the ballpark at where the Omaha Storm Chasers play. It's kind of a little bit outside of town. It's like a, you know, 20, 25-minute drive, basically, for everybody. And, you know, so it's hard to get to some games sometimes, and they don't necessarily draw, like, particularly well. But tonight will be a little bit different. Like there's quite the buzz. Bobby Witt Jr., you know, spent basically the entire season at the AAA level. That was pretty good. The entire season. And this is, you know, really similar to that. And it's happening at the right time for them, and they'll get a really good boost off of it. And there's just something different about a guy who hits the way he does. And people in Omaha have a familiarity with him too, because they've watched him for the last 2 years in the College World Series as well. So I think the buzz is pretty exciting around here.
I didn't even think about it looking at it through that lens, that they have kind of got an early taste of what he's going to look like seeing him play at the College World Series. I imagine you saw him play at the College World Series. What was that like?
Yeah, I get the I'm on the Westwood One radio crew for the College World Series broadcast. So, I mean, it's being around him the last couple of years has been incredible. Like, you just hear the stories of people who kind of talk to him and are around him, and I got the chance to talk to him a whole bunch, and he's just a really, really humble kid, and doesn't really probably think about himself as a star. I mean, he was doing at Florida for the last couple of years, just kind of whatever the team needed him to do. I mean, he pitched until he couldn't pitch anymore last year. And I'm glad that project kind of ended for him, where he could focus on, you know, doing what he does well, which is, you know, smack baseballs 450 feet, which is fantastic. But No, I mean, the buzz was incredible when he was here for the first time 2 summers ago. And then they made a surprise run. Florida made a surprise run here last year as like a regional 3 seed to make it all the way to Omaha. And really, it was on the back of him. And so he was kind of the center focal point of that team and won a game, I believe, or maybe two here in Omaha last year. So, yeah, there's a familiarity there. And I think that's another piece of what goes into his home debut tonight.
This is a side note, and I do want to get back to Jack Caglione. I've actually been to the College World Series a couple of times. Was there a player that you saw at the College World Series that you're thinking to yourself, there's no chance he's not a good pro? I remember I was there whenever Dustin Ackley, he played first base for North Carolina. I was sure he was going to be a star in Major League Baseball. I just looked it up because I was trying to figure out what happened to Dustin Ackley. I know, Connor, you had that player that you saw and you were like, this kid's going somewhere.
Dustin Ackley hung around for a little bit, but he stayed in the major league for a little while, but not long. He didn't end up being a major league star. That was definitely one of them. Like recent examples, I mean, you know, we were debating when he was here for the World Series 2 years ago, pitching for LSU, whether he would be, you know, helping out somebody's rotation or somebody's bullpen in the last couple months of that season. And it didn't end up turning out that way, but he quickly got the call to Pittsburgh early to start last season. But there was no doubt. I mean, you know, there was the question of like, all right, how's this going to play at the major league level? I mean, he's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and his slider is incredible. He's coming up with new pitches like the splinker and the way he works and stuff like that. There was no doubt. Like, you saw him firsthand. He's a psycho. Like, he was – I remember watching him out in the bullpen, like, chugging muscle milk and washing it down with honey. Like, I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's clearly built differently. So that's the one that comes to my head first, I think.
Right now, we're talking to Connor Happer. He is with 1620 The Zone in Omaha. Jack Caglione is making his debut, I believe, in Omaha coming up later today. We've heard different people give player comparisons for Cags. Do you have one? J.J. Piccolo said that he thinks he can be a left-handed Pete Alonso. Is that one you like?
That's good. I can't wait to see how it just all rounds together, because he's still, like, as good as the production has been at every level, you know, I still want to see how it rounds out. Like, there's some swing and miss there. Like, there's still some raw athleticism and power, which I do think, you know, is a plus for him at this point in his career, because it probably allows him to play, you know, a little bit more defensive flexibility, playing some outfield. So we'll see what they do with that. But, like, he's going to end up as a power hitting, you know, 30 plus home run first baseman once he fills out a little bit. But he's more athletic, I think, than Alonso. Like, he's more athletic than he gets credit for. It. He's really good defensively at first base. That's just not the way I think of Alonso. Alonso is interesting, though, because, you know, those two both went to Florida, both College World Series stars, and we got to experience them here in Omaha. Nothing that really pops out, just because you have this super unique combination of power hitting and also like raw athleticism that I think his, you know, his next couple of years, it'll be really interesting to see where all that lands.
Connor, where is the place in Omaha that everybody goes to get the Jello shots? We see it happen on the College World Series all the time. They always show it on the broadcast. Where is this place?
It's right next to the ballpark downtown. So it's called Rocco's. So it's funny because that place is like, it's a pizza place, but you know, that area of downtown doesn't necessarily get going at 365 days a year, but during the College World Series, it like transforms into a completely different place. And they started that shop board thing and it just like absolutely took off. So it's right next to the ballpark. It's called Rocco's.
Okay. Rocco's. All right. If I come back to the College World Series, I got to make sure that I stop at Rocco's. Are you guys anticipating either KU or K-State going? I don't know how far you look ahead in Omaha to who you project to be coming to the College World Series. Are you guys anticipating either one of those teams being there?
So it's funny, 'cause I'm currently acting as the voice for Creighton baseball. So we're going down to Fayetteville. I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go down to Fayetteville, and our first opponent is Kansas. And I'm taking a look at them. I'm like, whoa, these guys been kind of scary. They split with Nebraska this year, so I got a little taste of them. We played K-State. Creighton did earlier in the season and had a game wiped out with them as well. Those are two really solid teams, like top of the Big 12. And I do think, like, and you know, especially when you get past the real, real top teams in the country. You know, Arkansas is the number 3 national seed, which is, you know, tough to get over. But they've stunk during the postseason occasionally. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see 2-3 seeds. Like, the statistics say that a 3 or a 4 pretty much every year is going to make it to Omaha, and maybe KU or K-State could be one of those.
Hey, Connor, how many jobs do you have, man? Because you've told us about 4 different jobs in this interview.
Yeah, a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm filling in. I mean, I'm part of the Creighton baseball broadcast, but our main play-by-play guy broke his wrist a couple weeks ago, so I'm kind of filling in for him. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of different stuff. Thanks for noticing.
No, yeah, I picked it up on it. You was kind of being subtle with it too, like, oh, I also do this, and I'm like, wait, I'm starting to think all I do is do this. I must not be working hard enough.
No, you have to do it. I guess I just can't stop saying yes to these things.
Last thing here, how long are you anticipating Jack being there? Because if you had asked me this question, let's say 2 months ago, I would have said that I think he spends his entire first year down in the minors. You asked me this question 2 weeks ago, I was like, probably somewhere around the early part of August. I'm starting to think that maybe he's there for 30 days. I mean, with the way that this thing is going, with the way the Royals offense is going, with the way that his minor league career is going, it's just hard for me to think that he's going to spend 6-7 weeks in Omaha.
Yeah, I keep telling people. So the Storm Chasers, he's played a week for the Storm Chasers, but they were on the road in Salt Lake City. And they'll have this week at home, and then they'll have next week at home. They only get one back-to-back at home the entire year. The minor league schedule works where you just 1 week home, 1 week on the road usually. So they're at home each of the next 2 weeks. And I keep telling people, like, you guys better get out there just in case. I mean, you were saying it before I came on here, like, they've tried all these different things in the outfield, new bats that have mixed in and out of the lineup, like Lofton's up right now and Rave's up right now. You know, they're going to eventually need somebody to produce, and they just keep going through their options. And they eventually are going to have to give Cags a shot, because eventually he'll be the only one that has a chance to produce at the major league level. So, I don't know, man, like, I'm on the same course as you. Like, I kind of thought he just, when he got here, he'd spend the rest of the season here, but now I'm pretty sure he won't. I can't really see him being here past, you know, the 4th of July at this point.
That is Connor Happer joining us on the show today. Connor, Creighton beat Kansas during the basketball season. I hope they beat them during the baseball season as well.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. See you later.
Absolutely. That is Connor Happer joining us on the show today. I'm actually kind of rooting for the KU baseball team, but I couldn't tell him that. You know, I couldn't have him going back to Omaha saying, oh, Carrington's cheering for Kansas. No, I'm not. I'm not at all cheering for Kansas. But you know what? It's college baseball. You know what I mean? Hey, I kind of want him to go to the College World Series. Rob says that he's going to Omaha. He's never been to the College World Series. You know what, Rob? I actually want Kansas to go to the College World Series. You know, sometimes I just have to joke.
I mean, they are playing a postseason game against Omaha, which historically, against Arkansas, been bad for the Hawks.
No, for sure.
Football, basketball. Now let's get to go through to baseball.
Yeah, no, let's go ahead and do that. Maybe a little gymnastic, maybe a little track afterwards. Let's just lose in all of these things. Coming up on the other side, we have serious updates about what's happening in New Orleans. This might be the best update that we've had so far about this incident. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
We just review.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, they steal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to,
they steal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
All right, we will get back to very serious sports things coming up at the top of the hour. But if you've been listening to this show for the last 10 days, you know every day at this time, we are going to update you on what's happening in New Orleans. This is a story that has me completely captured, and I can't wait for the documentary and or the television show. So you guys probably by now know about this. A couple of weeks ago, there was an escape from a New Orleans jail. There were 10 men who escaped. We set an over-under heading into Memorial Day weekend on how many of these men were going to be captured. So five of them were already back in custody. When we had our last show, we set the over-under on 1.5 heading into the weekend. I took the under. Rob took the over. Rob felt very confident that somebody from this crew was going back to jail. Well, Rob, go ahead and walk to the window. You can go ahead and cash out because there were three men who were captured. So 10 escaped. They have 8 back in custody. There are 2 men remaining. Now, let me tell you the three men that got captured this weekend. Linton Van Buren, he was arrested by local police in Baton Rouge. He was around 82 miles away from New Orleans. So I want to get this straight. These men escaped on May 16th. On May 26th, this man was arrested 82 miles from where he was. So you know what? I'm going to give Linton a little bit of credit because unlike some of his buddies, he at least made an attempt to get out of the city. Now, I mean, going to Baton Rouge from leaving New Orleans, that would be like if you escaped in Kansas City and they caught you in Lawrence, Kansas. I mean, it's right down the street. I mean, come on now. Where was the imagination? Where was the vision? You basically got from Sprint Center all the way to Allen Fieldhouse. Now, I'll give you some credit. Some of your homeboys got caught down on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. You at least made a couple of moves here. But 82 miles, you didn't get that far in 10 days. Now, Leo Tate and Jermaine Donald, they were arrested in Walker County, Texas, after leading the Huntsville Police Department on a high-speed chase. So it doesn't sound like anybody was harmed in this. I know we're having a little bit of fun, but this is certainly a serious matter. I'm happy that these men are back in custody and nobody was harmed in their high-speed chase. Rob, then there were 2. Antoine T. Massey and Derek Groves are the 2 men that are still evading police. We don't know where these 2 individuals are, but everybody else has been captured. 10 men got out. 8 of them are back in custody. 2 men are still on the loose. Now, this is very, very important to note. This weekend, they arrested 12 people in connection with this. Rob, they are saying if you help these inmates in any way, you are going to jail. Rob, they arrested somebody's grandma on this. They arrested a woman. Her name is Connie Whedon. She's the grandmother of one of these. She says that her grandson reached out to her for a little bit of help. And you know what? She sent him a little bit of money on the Cash App. Now, I know that this woman should not be sending this fugitive a little money on the Cash App. But his granny. Some of us know your grandma, she gonna have your back and she gonna believe the best in you no matter what you are accused of. You're her baby. And you come to grandma asking for a little bit of help. It doesn't matter what you've been accused of. If she got $2 in your pocket, she gonna figure out a way to get you 3. We can't be arresting granny for trying to help out. How much money do we think granny gave this man? How much money do we think that granny gave Jermaine Donald? Obviously not that much. Come on now, we got a free granny. I didn't know now. There were 10 people that got out. I didn't know we was planning on putting more people into the jail. I'm going to defend grandma here, Rob. I'm going to defend Connie Whedon. There ain't no reason for Connie Whedon to be going to jail for just trying to help out her grandson and do anything that a loving grandmother would do.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. What if we find out the amount granny helped out? Like you're saying, I bet she just threw a little money on the Cash App. She just did a little Venmo just to help. If she gave $60, like, hey, get some gas and a t-shirt and, you know, good luck evading the law. I'm with you. What if she's giving real coin? What if she's dropping like, here's $550. Don't get caught, honey. Here's $1,000. Why don't you evade police? Does your tune change with the number of money? Because it feels like you're discounting Granny because you're like, oh, she was just helping out on the Cash App. Helping out is a wide spectrum. And I'm curious if that spectrum has you change tune at any point.
Rob, I understand how you maybe can't say what I'm about to say. I don't think that Connie Whedon is maybe rolling in this. And I just don't think that Connie Whedon is maybe providing the kind of support that you think she could potentially be providing her grandson who escaped from jail. I'm just going to go out here and assume a little bit. I saw the picture. I read the story. I'm just going to assume that Connie Whedon did not Cash App this man $1,000. She probably gave him what she had. Her little Social Security check. On a fixed income. Connie, you were doing your best. I mean, but you sent it to him through a Cash App. You had to know this was going to be tracked by the police. Come on. Connie, you got to send this via Western Union. You got to have him meet up. How many television shows have we seen where you leave the little brown paper bag and the person has to put on a heavy disguise and they go pick it up? You can't leave a digital trail that the cops can follow and then come to you because we know that you then had contact with that individual. And guess what? He was arrested shortly thereafter. Connie, you helped put him back in jail. You really did. You helped put him back in jail. I mean, it seemed like it was a family affair. The grandmother got arrested. A couple of other people that helped set it up here. It seemed like a real bad situation. So that is our update for today. There were 10 people that escaped from jail on May 16th. 8 of those individuals are back in prison. There are 2 people that continue to evade law enforcement. I mean, it is just a matter of time. Are we going by the end of the week? End of the week. Are these 2 people still going to be free at the end of the week? Because I'm guessing they're certainly starting to turn up the pressure and we're starting to head into the summer. And these people now have been out for over 10 days. Oh, they're not playing around. They're not playing around. These 2 people will be in custody by the close of business on Friday. Put me down for that. The close of business on Friday, they are arresting both of these individuals.
I think I'm in the same ballpark. I don't think this story makes it to June. I don't think we're doing the show on June 2nd, which is a week from yesterday, talking about the NOLA inmate still. I think it's this week or this weekend. If I don't want to credit inmates, but if they survive this weekend, they might actually be smart criminals, but so far, most of them are caught 10 blocks from the jail.
Man, free Granny, man. Free Connie Whedon, man. That's all I really care about in this is just slap Connie Whedon with a nice little obstruction charge. Give her a little probation and let Connie Whedon get back to watching Family Feud, man. Please let Connie Whedon get back to watching her stories. My goodness. That woman just wants to get back to watching General Hospital and a little Guiding Light, and she just want to watch Steve Harvey on The Family Feud. Free Connie Whedon. We'll talk Royals coming up. Keep it right here, Sadrive.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Risk it breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go, taco, only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99. Taco to go.